I used to be in this idea that when I had more money, I would be happy, or when I had a following, or when I had, you know, a little bit less body fat on my body. It was always this setup. What I was really saying is, right now I'm not where I want to be. And as soon as I gave that up, truly gave it up, I had this weird, lots of weird experience, but truly giving it up, I still wanted to live. So even though I was completely satisfied and nothing could improve the moment, and, you know, some of my best experiences in my life have been just me meditating. November 2019, I just went, you know what, I'm going to have this. And my company, like, it exploded. We did like $8.5 million in sales in the next 8 or 9 months. And then we doubled it. But I didn't care.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to this really special episode with an author of a really powerful book that I enjoyed reading. It's called You're Not Broken. And it just spoke to me. And it just felt like the words that I was hearing were exactly the words that I needed to hear in this moment in time for me. And it speaks from a higher perspective. And I think it's very necessary for us to see that higher perspective, to connect with that higher perspective every once in a while. And this book really helps you with that. And I love the fact that it always uses the word structure, which resonate with me quite a lot. So today with us, we have the author of the book, You're Not Broken, Chris Duncan. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Georgian. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let us know a little bit more about who Chris is, where you're from. I think you're the first person from your island to be on the podcast.
Well, that's good. I'm from New Zealand originally, and thank you so much for having me. It's great to meet you and all the listeners who are seeking to create a better life, and so very grateful to be here on the show with you. I'm a New Zealander. I live in Australia and founded the Conscious Education Company and the Magnetic Mind Method about 4 or 5 years ago now, to teach people a new way that was passed down to me through some amazing mentors on how to use your superconscious to create miracles and thoughts into things faster than anything else. And the wisdom that I was given, I didn't believe. And so I will ask the listeners to have, you know, open-minded skepticism as I explain and share this. And I really spent some time applying it. You know, I think it's easy to talk about concepts, but people want to be able to have real world results. So before you click off this podcast, here's why you should listen. The work that I'm going to explain has helped a blind man see again. I helped me build a $15 million company, move to paradise, marry the love of my life. I've had at least 24 people message me in that have had x-ray proof of either the tumors disappearing, broken bones being healed, diabetic medication no longer be needed, of course, making money, creating better relationships. And what is so amazing is in the 2 years since I released a video on YouTube, I've had nearly 12 million people watch that video. And it's why we've written the book, to let people know they're not broken. They can connect to their superconscious. They can have miracle transformations, and they can create a life they love, which brings me to you and to this amazing podcast.
That's wonderful. Some amazing results. And that was the exact attitude that I had, open-minded skepticism. So I thought, okay, I might know many of these things, but let's be open-minded and see whether there is something here that that I might have been missing, or a new perspective that I didn't look into. So yeah, it really delivered, and I'm hoping that our listeners will choose to have an open mind as well, and just have this openness to the new ideas and to a new perspective on their life and on how we can live our life. And one of the things that I got to was in my own experience before reading the book was acceptance. The fact that I was enough, and I needed to appreciate and accept things. And I think it's very interesting also, and one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about is this problem orientation and also problem solving. And it's really interesting if you also look at it from a philosophical viewpoint. They are opposites. And what I love about what you wrote in the book is the fact that it's about not working too much on the problems, and also not focusing too much on the problems themselves. Could you explain a little bit this part? Because I love being solution oriented, but
yeah,
I think I might be missing something from what I understood in the book.
Thank you. It's a very important point. A very important point. Most of the world is based in what I like to call problem creation mode, problem solving mode. And this is where you have something that you dislike, whether it's your current reality, an illness, a level of income. There's something in your current reality that you decide you don't want, so you set out to solve it. Now, the problem is your identity ends up working against you. So for example, your current reality is, you know, an illness, or your current reality is scarcity with money, or your current reality is you're lonely. Now, you set out on a path and you say, what I'm going to focus on is creating wealth, or I'm going to create a relationship, or I'm going to create a healthy body. And that makes sense. It's what most of us do. So as we start moving towards those end results, we find ourselves distracted or pulled back. And that's because our identity is actually in conflict with that end result. So if you don't have as much money as you want right now, you'd like to have lots of money, your current identity is in scarcity or not good enough. Same with health, your identity is illness. And the challenge with the identity is our identity, your self-conscious egoic center, it doesn't like change. It's got only really one goal, and that's to stay alive. So as you move towards this solution, this more money, this extra, better health or an amazing relationship, you get about halfway towards it and your identity starts giving you uncomfortable feelings. Feelings like, I don't know if this is what I want. I don't know if this is right. I don't know if this is me. Or it finds ways to distract you. Now, if you imagine this identity distracting you, pulling your focus to solve it. So we're moving towards what we want, and then we get distracted by our identity. So then that takes our focus off what we were going for, and we go to resolve this negative feeling. So this negative feeling about, you know, doubt or uncomfort or whatever it is, we might go do a course or read a book or procrastinate or distract ourselves or change ideas, change relationship, eat the wrong food, whatever it is. But then we resolve that negative feeling that the identity gave us. And so we feel good. But the problem is we're back where we started. And this loop continues and continues. And I meet this with a lot of people. They chase health. and they say, I need to go get some health. I need to be more healthy. I don't feel good. I need to be healthy. And they say, well, I'm going to go to the naturopath. The naturopath prescribes them to change their diet. So they change their diet. They feel good for a little bit, but they still don't feel great. Then they look for something else. And then they go to, you know, to a masseuse, or they go get EFT, or they go get hypnosis, and they keep on chasing and they get nowhere. This is called the problem reality. And what happens is in this reality, you end up creating an identity that says, I cannot create without fixing myself. I cannot create with the way I am. And this is actually one of the biggest problems or challenges in the personal development world. Every time we walk into a new technique, modality, or book, we walk in trying to fix the way we are in a belief that if we fixed ourselves, improved ourselves, healed ourselves, we would finally have what we want. Now, the thing is this is in direct contrast with how real creation happens. The real creation happens by acknowledging you are it all already. We have a saying, you must be it to see it. And the it is the all, the infinite, everything. Once you realize you are it, then there's nothing to solve. And so rather than going for something to solve a way you feel incomplete, you just create, like an artist turning a blank canvas into an amazing work of art. You're in the creation reality. The creation reality, by definition, is not better than where you are now. It is simply a different experience in this human journey. And so your message here about gratitude and acceptance is so true. And I love what the Stoics said, acquiesce to the moment, acquiesce to the now. There's nothing more rich than the now. Once you truly understand that you cannot be more abundant than you choose to be right now. You cannot be more happy than you choose to be right now. You cannot be more in love than you choose to be right now. Nothing outside of you will give you what you can't already give yourself now. And once you truly get that, you become a superconductor. You have no resistance because your identity is now equivalent or equal to the identity that has the result that you're creating. And that's the key. That's what unlocks a magnetic moment. You step through the wizard's gate and you create like magic. When you stop trying to solve your illness and accept it for what it is, put your body in the right conditions. I've seen miracles happen, people regaining their eyesight or walking after 30 years of using a cane. It's just a miracle. And that's what that shift is. And the shift happens in the now, which is, I guess, what you and your listeners are already doing.
Yeah, this is what we strive to do. We're not always that great at it, but we try our best to do it because we know the many benefits. And now with this perspective, it's even more encouraging because I feel that this resonates a lot with gratitude, just being happy and satisfied and grateful for the present moment, for all of the things that are great right now. And from there we can create without much expectation of some sort, but we can just create because we are already satisfied.
Yeah, totally. You know, I used to be in this idea that when I had more money, I would be happy, or when I had a following, or when I had, you know, a little bit less body fat on my body, it was always this setup. What I was really saying is right now I'm not where I want to be. And as soon as I gave that up, truly gave it up, I had this weird, lots of weird experience, but truly giving it up, I still wanted to live. So even though I was completely satisfied and nothing could improve the moment, and you know, some of my best experiences in my life have been just me meditating, even though that was so marvelous, it didn't mean I wanted to just end my human journey. You know, I didn't need to create the things. So I started creating from a different orientation, and it got really weird. It was like you know, I truly didn't matter if I made $1 million or lost it. I would be just as happy. And as soon as I unlocked that door, it didn't matter if, you know, how my body was. I just gave up and I became super conscious. And it was just wild. Like I couldn't believe it. I became so unattached to it. And then as I became unattached, I realized I was already bigger than any end result. I was bigger than, I had more abundance than any money could give me. Heck, that can't give you anything. More love than any relationship could give me. I had it all in me because I am the all. I'm connected to it. I'm a drop in the ocean of the source code. And I went, wow, I'm bigger than all of these things. So I'll just choose to have that flavor. And I remember making the choice, and it was like, November 2019, I just went, you know what, I'm going to have this. And my company, like, it exploded. We did like $8.5 million in sales in the next 8 or 9 months. And then we doubled it, but I didn't care, you know, and there's things like that. And so, you know, exactly what you say is right. When you truly give up the self-conscious limited perspective that our human vehicle has orientated us to through our individuation phase, to, you know, use a word from Jung, it's so magical. And it's sometimes the only thing is like, you need your manifestations to slow down a bit so you can enjoy them. The only problem is like, hey, can I have a bit of space to enjoy each one of these for a second?
that's very true. And also in those moments, I believe that gratitude is very important to just, while you have the experience or afterwards, just to realize that you had that wonderful experience. That's one of the things that we talk about here. Many times we have great experience in our day, but since everything is happening so fast, we forget to appreciate them, more just we're just not seeing them. I also loved how you explained how we got here, and in the sense that you mentioned individuation and our journey from our mother's womb to where we are right now. Can you share a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, I have a really great diagram in the book, and so explaining it is a little bit difficult, but I will. We all start out as a creative energy. And we are the all, and we desire a human experience. We desire limitation. The reason why we desire limitation to fall from grace and to experience a limited form is without limited edges, you can't experience anything. Without hot, you can't experience cold. So we must become something. Becoming something, we're not everything. That's the definition of limitation. It has an edge. And this is, Jung has a word called individuation, which I've borrowed. And individuation is what happens when we find out that we're human. And we come into this experience. And as we realize that we're not the all, as we realize that there are things we can do to lose the attention or have disapproval from our parents or be laughed at by our peers or whatever it is, when we learn that there is things that can happen that we dislike, that we are limited, and then we also learn there are things we can do to get more of what we like, we make up beliefs about how the world is. And between the ages of 0 and 4, we're really searching for how the world is, and by age 7 we've locked it in, and we create a worldview. And this worldview, this problem orientation, this limited viewpoint, it becomes our way to overcome the world. It gives us a point of reference. And typically there's 6. The first one is I'm not worthy. And this person desires to do really good in the world. Their belief is if they do enough good in the world, they'll get what they want. This person ends up the most lost and resentful because they do good for everybody else and wonder why no one's doing good for them. And the reason is because they're just not going for what they want. You know, they think if I start a charity and help all these people, well, then I'll be rich. It's like, well, you know, if I be a good wife, I'll have a good relationship or whatever it is. It just doesn't work that way. They desire to be worthy of it rather than just have it. The next is not good enough. This was my orientation. I believed, hey, I'm not good enough. And then this person focuses on their work. They don't think they are good enough. So they become very good at things and they put their work in front of them. They say, look how good my work is. And they orientate by, you know, getting a gold star at school and getting a pat on the back and saying, look how good you did, but not actually living through themselves. The third orientation is not belonging. This person always feels overlooked. They don't belong. You know, they don't know their place. And so they spend their whole life trying to search to fit in. The fourth way is insignificant, feeling insignificant, that they're just small. Either this shows up in two ways. Either they have no goals. they say, I'm going for nothing. I'm happy how it is. Or they try to go for becoming really famous and significant. The next way is not capable. So this person will think, well, I'm not capable enough, and they need to gather resources to become capable. They get certifications and they never have enough time. The not capable orientation always, I never have enough time, or I never have enough money, or I don't know the right people. And then the last one is the need to be perfect. This is, they're always trying to have themselves be a perfect way. There's a right way and a wrong way. So these six orientations, they lock us into basically a orientation in life and a focus. And the focus is to overcome that. And I meet a lot of people who have never let go of this childhood orientation. And the reason is in today's society, we do not have an initiation. So, you know, in ancient times, nearly all cultures, if you look at them, had an initiation. For women, it was at their first menstrual period and that time in life, their first cycle. And for men, it was around the age 15, 16. And we would learn that we were powerful. And we would learn that those six core wounded orientations were just not true. We would learn to overcome them. I don't know about you, but most people that I talk to, they didn't have a formal initiation into adulthood where it says, you are now an adult. You are now powerful. You know, you don't need to belong anywhere. You're already perfect. You're already capable. You are good enough. You're already worth. You're already that. But most of us are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 year old children still trying to become perfect or seek approval. And unfortunately, most people stay stuck there. And this is where I meet them. And the first thing as I do is I help them to orient to a new way of being, not by fixing themselves, but by just letting go of the limited viewpoints that created through limitation, so that they can actually live a life as super conscious and as a self-conscious. So that's the big shift. And that shift we call stepping into the stepping through the wizard's gate and accessing the magnetic moment. This is when you be it. And it is when you are it all, you know. There's nothing you can do to be more good enough. There's nothing you can do to belong more or less or have. There's nothing you, it's already in you. And that's that moment I'm talking about. Once we make that shift, we use a process called the recode. Recode's limitation to have it now, to become it now, to be both your super conscious awareness and your self-conscious limitation. When they do that, boom, they snap into place and we start creating end results for no good reason, just because they would love. In fact, that's something that we teach. Well, we teach this. There's no reason why. There should be no reason why you want to create something. So you always know when someone's trying to overcome a self-imposed limitation, when there's always a reason why. Oh, I want to create a book because if I impact 1 million people, then people will think I'm amazing. Or if I do this, then whenever there's a big why. In fact, one of the things I really dislike is having to have any other reason than I just want it. I just choose it. Like, well, I just choose to create a beautiful home, or I just choose to have a charity. You know, it's not going to make me any better or worse. I just choose it. So that's the shift. And then, you know, after that, we really step into a new reality. Did that make sense? Definitely. I hope that made sense without the vision.
It made a lot of sense. and I actually wanted to quote from the book something that I think it's really relevant to what you just said. You can create what you love, knowing nothing will give or take away your core satisfaction in life.
Amen to that. That's some wisdom.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I definitely resonate with this. One of the interesting things that are happening right now in my own life is it has to do with my identity. So my identity was being very responsible and ambitious and things of this nature. And right now, for some reason, I feel that identity is dying. And it's and it's very interesting that it's it feels like I'm somehow in the middle of nowhere and I don't know what to do now. You know, if I'm not that, what am I?
Yeah. I know that moment well. I know it well. I guide lots of people through that. So good for you.
Spectrum Mobile is reinventing wireless again. Get unlimited on 2+ lines for $29.99 a month per line. No contracts, no added taxes or fees. Includes nationwide 5G. Save up to 60% with Spectrum Mobile. Get unlimited on 2+ lines for $29.99 a month. Call 855-438-2999 or visit a store near you. Offer valid for new customers on 2+ unlimited lines. Spectrum Internet required. Savings based on 2-line comparison of unlimited plans among major national carriers as of 9/2021. Prepaid excluded. Restrictions apply.
Yeah, thank you. And it's very interesting that even joy can be scary if it doesn't fit in our identity. If we are a problem solver, okay, just being joyous, what am I doing? I should solve some problems. I should do some things.
Yeah. Well, when you've placed your worth on your work, you know, this would be an orientation of I'm not good enough. My work must prove how good I am. The person who has that orientation and won't allow themselves to just be, because just being is scary, because they don't feel they have worth. Their worth is through their work. And so I must be putting my work on show. And so it's very scary. It is very scary. And many people say to this person, they say, you just need to relax. And to relax feels like jail to them. They're like, what do you mean relax? Exactly. You know, on the weekend, I just do more work. And others go, well, you just need to relax. And it's like, no, they need to allow themselves to let go truthfully of this idea that their work is going to make them good enough. You know, because we think that. We think, you know, so I've written this book, hey, and millions of people are going to buy it, and it's amazing. But that doesn't change me. You know, I'm still Chris that we'll sit down and have a whiskey with you and just enjoy the moment. That's who I am. And then I was fortunate enough to put a book together that people love. And that's when you get that separation. Magic, because your identity is no longer thinking that's going to give it what it wants. It already has it.
Exactly. That's, I believe this is, I don't know, it's so deep and so true for me in this moment, especially it resonates very, very deeply with me. And I think it's, again, it is very much related to gratitude and to appreciating ourselves and what we have in our life and feeling enough, feeling like we have enough, feeling that we are enough. And I think it's something that we, especially nowadays with all of the things that influence us one way or another, the media and social media, it's really not that easy to feel that way and to really experience that. And yeah, gratitude definitely helps us with this bit. There is a question from the book that I really loved, and I think it would be interesting for our listeners to hear it. It goes like this: what would you really love to create for no reason other than you would just love to have it?
So good, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's exactly what you said. What would we love to create? How would we love to live? Because I think this idea that you mentioned is seen in our society quite a lot. Many people work hard so that they are seen in a certain way, or buy things so that they are seen in a certain way.
Yeah. Can I interrupt? Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Please.
I was like, oops. You know, you have to ask anyone like that. You ask them one question, and I want all the listeners is, if that's the thing that can give or take from you, where's the power? If others' opinions can give you a sense of importance, then they can also take it from you. If a relationship you're in can give you love, it can take it from you. So where's the power? Where's the power? Where's the power if money gives you freedom? Where's the power? The power is outside of you. And that's the problem. If you have to put the power in medication, if you have to put the power in someone else, where's the real power? It's outside of you. See, if the true power for healing or miracles or creation was outside of us, then why is it true that's not, there is no one vitamin or medicine that works 100% of the time? Because if this other thing was so powerful, there'd be something in our universe that if you do it 100% of the time, it works. Therefore, you must realize that it's the person choosing to be powerful and using, they decide they're powerful. They decide that whatever it is that they're taking or using is going to work. It's their decision. See, we negate the power. And obviously, the placebo effect talks more about this as well, is that we have an internal superconscious operating system that we are not using. We're giving the power away, thinking that it's just, if you take this medication, you take this thing, it's lucky dip, you know? The truth is, there's one big pharmacy inside of us. There's a whole world of possibilities that has been unexplored. And so you're right, you know? What would you love to create for no reason? Then you'd love to create it because you already are it all. You can't possibly be more than what you really are. I mean, for goodness sake, we are a creative energy that turned up in a human form and ate some plants and maybe some animals, maybe, and created a body out of it. You know, we are a walking, talking intelligence. We're hydrogen molecules and carbon, you know, walking around on a rock. Like that's what we are. You know, you're kidding me that some money or some other human beings that are clapping their particles together is what gives you a feeling? You know, no, it's us. It's inside of us. And that's the missing piece. That's the missing piece in most personal development work, is the person thinks the power is outside of them.
Yeah, that's so true. And one other topic that I wanted to bring up is this part of always working on yourself and always healing and always doing these kinds of things. And I loved what you said, that we are never allowed to solve the problem, because if we do, we will not know who we are.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this idea?
Oh, bro, I would love to. I would love to. If you have an identity that's not good enough, that creates a belief, if it had 1 million followers or $1 million, then it would be good enough. It will never allow you to have that result. Because if you were to achieve that result, it would have to give up its way of being. It would have to die because of the whole setup, you see? If I create this, I am good enough, yet my identity is someone who is not good enough. Therefore, I can never touch that. Otherwise, everything I know how the world is will have to die. So some people think it's an option whether or not they want to share and do what I'm suggesting. But, well, it's always an option, obviously. You will never, ever create something that is in contrast to the way that your identity believes the world is now. You cannot. Your identity will have to die. The only way is now, to shift now. Once you now are good enough, then you just choose what you want and you know it doesn't change you. Does that make sense? You know?
Yeah.
Gosh, it's so big, isn't it? It's so big. Yet we go and we think, oh, you know, if I had that relationship, if I had that body weight, then, you know, then I'd be worthy. Then I'd be worthy of blah, blah, blah. And so you'll never have that because your unworthy identity will never give up its way of being in order for you to have it. It's a complete self-conscious ego setup that is completely unworkable and your life will just flow like a pendulum back and forth and back and forth, never being allowed to have it for long enough to enjoy it, always having it fall apart. And when you get that, listeners, I'll be so happy for you. Your life will already be good enough. You won't need to create anything, but you'll find that everything just falls into place.
Yeah, you will create just for the sake of it. And I think that's amazing. And this makes so much sense. Like if we're just open to this idea, it just fits right in. And I think it's something very powerful that we can open up to and explore. Just see how it feels for us, how it feels in our body, right?
Right. I mean, the worst case, if you choose to just feel good now, and if you choose to just be, you know, be happy now, the worst case is you'll just be really happy. and you know what the fear is? The fear is someone says, but Chris, if I believe I'm good enough now, where will my motivation go? You know, they say, well, if I feel happy and content now, where will my motivation go? And I'm like, haha. It just showed itself. It just showed how dysfunctional it is. It just showed you that it will never give up the feeling of being dissatisfied. You just proved by point that you're so scared of losing motivation. You know, just think about this: is I want to be motivated to achieve the goal to finally be good enough. And I'm saying, well, why don't we choose to be good enough right now? Oh, but I'll lose my motivation. Why did you want the motivation to get to this end result so I could finally be good enough? Let's think about that. So it's like, the worst case is you're just going to feel the way you want to feel in the future now. And maybe you'll have some different goals because you'll realize those other goals were actually not really what you wanted. You know,
exactly.
There's no way to lose, but have open-minded skepticism. Like, be a complete skeptic with an open mind. Be a true scientist. You know, I think the scientist of testing hypotheses is the scientific way, the scientific method. I think it's a very valid method. It's like open-minded skepticism, test the hypotheses. You know,
exactly, and see for yourself and see how it feels. What's happening. What's not happening, and it's important also to be aware of the things like you said, what's happening inside when you feel that you're already good enough. Okay, you're thinking about motivation, then it might be that it's still that part of you that feels that it needs to do something to be good enough. I think it's this is very powerful and yet very simple. And I think the wisest things in the world are simple.
I agree.
So we're nearing the end of our time together, and it's been a real pleasure. It's been a lot of fun. And I wanted to ask you if you can share with our listeners where can they get the book, You're Not Broken, and also get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with your listeners. It's a pleasure. I'm on all social medias, Christopher M. Duncan. The book is at youre not broken.com. You can obviously find it on Amazon and and everywhere else as well. The best place for me is to get me on YouTube or social media and say hi. I've got a few free trainings out there which you can enjoy about this process. But yeah, grab the book. Your life will never be the same again. You know, truthfully, when you learn how to orient as a creator and have a working relationship with your superconscious, your life will be magic. And that's just true.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Thank you so much for being with us here and for being so present and for sharing all of the knowledge and wisdom that you have acquired, and just for writing the book as well and for giving us this perspective. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now. Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.